We'll be reading the word this morning. As Jeremy said, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, so put a placeholder there, but we're going to start in Isaiah 40. So please join with me to Isaiah 40. We're going to read the first 5 verses from Isaiah 40. So Isaiah 40, starting at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We'll be starting at verse 22 and reading through to 38. So Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Well, I'm sure you hung out with at least one other person at Christmas time. Probably might have even hung out with quite a crowd on Christmas Day. Some of you were with babies and kids, and there's something fun about that, isn't it? Isn't there, you know, the excitement of kids and their presents, you know, their new toys, Lego. Hey, you know, we had Lego at our place. You're never too young or old for Lego. But, you know, the excitement of kids for Christmas is beautiful. Some of you were older people, you know, might have been parents or grandparents. At Christmas, you might have seen the frailty of some older people, some relatives in your life. I got to hang out with my dad on Christmas Day with his dementia. It might be the last Christmas before he moves somewhere to receive more care. I don't know, for some of you, Christmas is a time where you remember those who aren't with you anymore. So Christmas Day involves a whole mix of people, ages and stages. And look, there's something else. I'm just going to pose this question to you. And it's, have you ever experienced a Christmas where who turns up, a friend or relative, and it's their first Christmas since they became Christian. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you can remember that first Christmas for yourself. But I remember this one friend, she became a Christian, and, some of the rallies and the reaction, what, you want to go to church on Christmas Day? You're ruining our festivities. Don't tell us you've got religious on us, have you? But, the meaning that that person now had, they're excited to celebrate the birth, the arrival of Jesus. So this is all to say, this summer series, we're getting into Luke's Gospel, we're looking at various people who discovered Jesus. They meet him, they encounter him, they put their faith in him, and their life is transformed. Today it's about two people who meet Jesus for the first time while he's still a baby, and their lives are transformed. I mean, parents, you meet your own baby for the first time and your life is transformed. These people meet someone else's baby for the first time and their life is transformed. It's extraordinary. But fresh start with God. What does it mean to encounter Jesus? What does it mean to have Jesus in your life? A fresh start with God. And today we're going to look at three things. The three points I'm going to put to you are Jesus brings comfort, Jesus causes division, and Jesus changes what you're searching for. So firstly, Jesus brings comfort. Now, let's get a bit of context here. Got your Bibles open, verse 22. You see that Joseph and Mary travel to Jerusalem to do what the Old Testament law required. They go to the massive complex, that building in the center of Jerusalem, the temple, and it's the firstborn son, baby dedication ceremony. I mean, who knows, probably a whole bunch of parents are there with their babies as well. And while they're at the temple, the Lord orchestrates a meetup. Because there's a man named Simeon, verse 25. He's a pretty unique guy in a way. He's devout, worshipful of the Lord. It says there, verse 25, the Holy Spirit is upon him. The Holy Spirit on this day gives him direction. So get to the temple. I've got someone you need to meet. So he goes. And let's just say their culture, in their culture, there's an acceptance of random people who want to hold your baby. Because Simon comes alone, Simeon comes along and he takes Jesus in his arms. And Simeon speaks words of praise to God about this baby. We'll look at that, but before we get to those words in verse 25, we learn what old Simeon was about. It says he was waiting for the consolation. Can we get those words up on the screen? Thanks. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Another word for consolation is comfort. Simeon was waiting for the comfort of Israel. This is what Simeon was waiting and hoping and looking forward to. With the arrival of Jesus, he's found it. Now we have to understand Israel at this point in the first century is a shadow of what it once was. That's why we read before some of the words from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who was hundreds of years before Jesus, where he said, "Comfort, comfort my people." Just one of the Old Testament passages about a future day of comfort. See, Israel had sinned and turned away from the Lord. The promised land had become the desolate, captured land. They'd basically become a punching bag for all the nations around. There was Assyria, there was Babylon, in which they went to exile for a while. Then came along the Greeks, maybe you've heard of Alexander the Great. And now it's Rome. But Israel, the people are crying out, they're in desperate need of a rescuer. And God promises in various prophecies that they can again be this light to the world, this beacon of hope and blessing to the nations. Comfort, comfort my people. And we know nothing more about Simeon than just in this passage. He's just sort of a random dude who turns up. But it seems Simeon hasn't been complaining about what's happened to Israel. He's not shifting the blame off Israel, but he's waiting for the comfort, the promised comfort of Israel. And now he's offering God's comfort in his arms. Because this is the Messiah. This is God's rescuer. So we've got his words of praise there in verse 29. You know, when we hold a baby in our arms, probably what we come up with is, how beautiful! What a blessing! But in verse 29, I mean, Simeon, he takes it to a whole other level. Basically, he's saying there amongst all, well, I can die now. Nothing can top this. What more could I ever want? I've met Jesus. Take me, Lord. I mean, he said there, verse 30, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations. Simeon has seen for himself God's promised comfort, and that comfort is Jesus. And I just do make the point, there's a big difference between comfortable and comfort. You know, comfortable is what I experienced on Boxing Day. I mean, for me, I love Boxing Day. I mean, it's the best day. There's cricket on the TV. I luxuriate on the lounge. There's presents around. The toughest thing I have to do is learn some rules for a new board game. It's a really comfortable day. Comfortable is fun. But comfort is about love and hope and a restoration of things. Comfort is what you want to bring to a friend at a funeral. Comfort is what you want to bring as you hug a friend as they're going through a really tough time. Comfortable is surface level. Comfort is something that's much more solid. Comfortable is what a lounge can give you. Comfort is what a person can give you. Comfort is relief in the midst of suffering. And it makes me think of the Apostle Paul where he said this. If we could get that on the screen. Thanks. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. You know, in this life we still suffer. We face loss and heartache. But when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do find in him comfort. I was actually just talking to someone today, and she gave me permission to say this, but, you know, she was just saying to me today that at Christmas time, she's had a really, really tough year. It's been a horrible year, really. And she was there with her relatives at Christmas Day, and the best they could come up with was, well, sometimes that's just our lot in life. And she said, no, actually, God is a God of comfort. I have hope because of Jesus. See, in our culture, we're always trying to shortcut through pain and suffering to find what's comfortable. You know, I don't know if it's more scrolling or more shopping or more hobbies, but it's Jesus, it's his love for you, it's his commitment to you, it's his promises to you. We can lay hold of that, and in whatever we face in life, we really can find a sure comfort. Jesus brings comfort. This is my first point, but also Jesus causes division. And we see this there from verse 33. Initially Mary and Joseph, I mean, they're amazed, aren't they? What, these great promises are given about their little baby, their little one. But then Simeon's words turn rather dark, don't they? Have a look at these words, verse 34. Where Simeon says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. It takes a dark turn for sure. Jesus will cause the rising and the falling of many, he'll be spoken against. So in the end, basically what it's saying is that people are going to take a position with Jesus. They aren't going to take a position with Jesus. There'll be a rising and a falling. They'll either be with him or they'll be against him. I mean, put it like this. Jesus is like a billiard ball, really. Jesus is like a billiard ball. You know, you throw a ball onto a table, a pool table, and you watch all the other balls fly. Nothing just stays still. Everything bounces around. It resets the whole table. Well, no one stays still when it comes to Jesus. Because Jesus did not come to affirm the status quo. Jesus didn't come to make you feel nice about yourself so you can just stay as you are. Jesus came to turn tables and upturn lives. People were repelled by Jesus, often the wealthy and the religious. Others were drawn towards Jesus, often the poor and the outsider. But when it comes to Jesus, no one gets to stay still. Not even Mary. You see those words there from Simeon to Mary? I mean, the sword of Jesus is going to cut people down the middle, and it will pierce Mary too. I mean, friend, you can't imagine any words like this to be said about the future of your child. I mean, it's awful words, really. And I guess there could be many moments when Mary, the mother of Jesus, had like a sword pierce her soul, grieving over what was going on with Jesus, but nothing could come close to when she would have to see Jesus hanging on a cross for others, but hanging on a cross, a sword to pierce her soul, a sword to cut her heart in half. But this is Jesus, the one who brings comfort, the one who brings salvation. But he's going to cause the rising, he's going to cause the falling, it's going to be a sign that will be spoken against, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So today I want to ask you, where do you stand with Jesus? See, you don't get to sit on the fence. You don't get to do some acrobatic act of tiptoeing the edge of the sword. As if you can say, Jesus is fine if you're into that sort of thing. Well, that means you've picked a side. Your heart's been revealed. That means you are against Jesus, the Messiah, the one to bring salvation, the one to bring God's comfort. You're either for him or you're against him. The saving work for you on the cross, you can reject him. So accept him. Yeah, we hope to see you, all your friends or family, to Hope Explored this coming Friday night. It's a great series. Oh, we could actually relabel it Comfort Explored. Comfort Explored. But Jesus does come with a warning label. Christians have always found leaving Jesus' way means that people will have a reaction against them too. I know of parents who've gotten cranky with their son for bringing all this Christianity stuff back into their home. I know a couple whose priority is church and they want to raise their kids to know Jesus, that their parents think they're crazy. I know many of you, perhaps in your workplace, are a bit nervous because of your traditional biblical convictions. It means that with the corporate stance on inclusivity, indirectly, ironically, you know, you feel you're in danger of being excluded. You know, when you throw your lot in with Jesus, you're coming down on a side. The authorities got mad at Jesus, so they will get mad at you. People were offended by Jesus, so they will be offended by you. And it was like that with the earliest Christians, first century Rome, you know, refusing to acknowledge the local gods, refusing to take part in various festivals, because Christians only worship Jesus. So yeah, always will be the case. People will take a response, even to you. There's no neutrality. There's no spiritual Switzerland here. This child will cause the falling and rising of many. A sign will be spoken against, so the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And this is why you need comfort. This is why you need to keep drawing on Jesus and know his comfort. Belonging to Jesus, following Jesus, there can be suspicion, rejection, even hatred. But you're safe with Jesus. Jesus himself was pierced for you. On the cross he died for you. He loves you. He is for you. He's brought you into his family. He's an eternal future for you. He gives you your spirit. He keeps ministering to you. If you would just keep turning to him and remember him and know him, there is comfort when you know Jesus. But we cannot avoid it. Jesus causes division. Jesus brings comfort, Jesus causes division. My last point is this, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes what you're searching for. Now we've really just focused on Simeon waiting for the comfort of Jesus. But I also want you to look at Anna, the prophet Anna. We're talking verse 36 that she's very old. Depending on your translation, she was either 84 years of age or she's been a widow for 84 years after being married for 7 years. I mean, have a look at your version, see what it says there. She's either 84 or she's over 100. And she's just always there at the temple, daily, worshipping, praying, fasting. So 1 minute, Simeon turns up and starts praising God for Jesus. Next minute, Anna sort of, I don't know, toddles up and thanks God and speaks to everyone about Jesus. What a day this is. But I want us to notice things about Simeon and Anna. Notice their age. Notice how much they're waiting. Notice their devotion to God. How once they met Jesus, nothing could be better. With Simeon, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he would see the Lord's Messiah. And once he's found Jesus, he basically says to God, okay, all good. You can take me now. Put it like this, meeting Jesus is the only thing on his bucket list. Nothing else matters. It's the same with Anna. So, what are your priorities? What are your desires? She's there at the temple every day worshipping Jesus and was waiting and hoping, and then she meets the one Jesus. You and I are supposed to take Simeon and Anna as examples. But these examples run fairly counter to the way our culture and world works and thinks about age and priorities and the things that matter. I imagine old Simeon, and I imagine, I don't know, fairly worn out, bent over Anna at the temple every day, worshipping, praying. You know, that's her world. Think of all the great things happening out in the wide world. Armies and rulers and trade and wealth, the coming and going of empires. But where's it really at? It's these two old people waiting. And they finally meet Jesus. I'm going to bring this to us and the our year that's coming up. I mean, what are going to be the history-making moments of 2025? I guess we're going to find out. But what could be the great things that you might want to experience this year? What are the great holiday destinations this year? What are the great concerts you could get to this year? What is the movie coming out that you just have to see? What's the latest video game you want to experience? You and I are marketed to big time so that we would spend our money. So we have the sense of, oh, I don't want to miss out. I want to be part of this awesome, wonderful thing, because that's where life is to be experienced. But old Simeon and Anna, there's only one thing that matters. Only one thing on their bucket list. Meet Jesus. It's the only experience that matters. I know our culture has flipped it around from what was traditional culture. So, you know, not so much space to admire and respect and look up to frail old people. But in this story, they are the people to look up to. With Anna, I'll bring her into our time and setting. She would have never been overseas. She would have never been on a cruise. Being a grey nomad would have no interest to her. She's got nothing going on to post on Instagram. There's no images of snorkeling the Maldives or walking the streets of Paris or discovering mountaintops and waterfalls or four-wheel driving around Australia. She's just sort of boring. She's toddling off to the temple every day. No one would think much of little old Anna. But she, like Simeon, has the greatest experience on earth. Nothing matters in comparison. Royal Caribbean, eat your heart out. She meets Jesus. And so we're about to embark on 2025. So my encouragement, my urging up to you is make the most of this year. Do the most awesome thing possible. Don't waste the year. Meet Jesus. Through the Word of God, meet Jesus, the Messiah, who came to bring comfort and help others to know that comfort in Jesus too. But also keep using this year to worship and love and grow in your relationship with Jesus. And like Anna, you know, 84 years of age or 100 years of age, just getting up to the temple every day, it looks rather unexciting, doesn't it? Not where the action seems to be at, but use this year to do the most wonderful thing. Open up your Bible daily and get to know Jesus more. Do the boring thing of having a Bible reading plan and being in prayer. It's going to look boring, I guess, but it's not. It's about growing in your love for your Savior. It's how we draw and find comfort from Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And if you're coming to church on a Sunday, you get involved in the growth group, you know, church versus skiing in Japan. I mean, what looks better, I get it. But in fellowship with others, worship Jesus, praise his name with others, open the word, grow your relationship with Jesus. Today's about a fresh start with God. Wouldn't it be great to have your Christmas next year, a friend or family, who for them it's their first Christmas since coming to know Jesus? That'd be wonderful. But do you have someone at your Christmas crowd this year? Let me ask this, did you have someone at your Christmas crowd this year? Maybe an old person who follows Jesus even when they're frail and struggling and life is just starting to get a little bit dim. I think of my dad, but I can also think of my granddad, who's no longer around. My granddad was a Christian. He was of that generation who worked really, really hard all the way to the end. He supplied road base to make roads. He had a quarry. He ran a rock-crushing plant. He was sort of as tough as rock as well. He went to church every Sunday. He was faithful. My grandma would play the organ every Sunday. Just solid, persevering Christian people. But in the last couple of years of his life, my granddad kept telling people that there's now something new about his Christian faith. He kept saying, "I've discovered grace." He kept saying that to people, "I've discovered grace." It was this amazing new discovery. He kept saying to people, "I've discovered grace." In other words, he discovered God's riches at Christ's expense. Somehow throughout his Christian life, he missed being able to rejoice that a sinner like him got to be saved and set free by his mighty, wonderful Saviour, Jesus. And so his relationship with God moved from something just about devotion to more about praise. You could say, towards the end of his life, as men in his 70s, he met Jesus and had a fresh start with God. No one can avoid this. You will fall on one side of Jesus, one way or the other. So come to Jesus. Get to know him. Grow a relationship with him. Go to him in his word. Turn to him in prayer. And you'll find that Jesus gives you comfort. Meet Jesus. Grow your relationship with Jesus. And your life will be transformed. So I'm going to pray now and invite you to pray with me too. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the light to the world, the light to the nations, the greatest and sure and only hope for us in this world, your comfort. And Father, I pray that you'd do a work in each one of us, that we would draw towards Jesus, that we turn to Jesus, and that we might realize that even in suffering, even in affliction and times of real struggle, that we might know that we might know this comfort. That in Jesus you are with us and for us, you are by our side, you are committed to us, you love us. Thank you that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who came into the world, who came and died in our place and rose again and now reigns. So Father, I pray that you would be at work in this world. There is a rising and there is a falling, but I pray that there would be those people you draw to yourself, and so that we would worship you, love you, that we would rejoice in all that we found in Jesus. And we pray this in his name.